Hello, and welcome to show number 2505 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Our secret sauce is that we are going to teach people alternate ways of getting everyday tasks done just without using their vision.
And we'll be hearing about some of that secret sauce in today's show.
When you first lost your sight, did you want to find a way to kickstart your progress to independence? We'll talk with Kurt Dykman and Brian Clark of First Aid for the Blind about their innovative training program to help people do just that. The week-long remote sessions teach life-changing skills and provide vital tools to newly blind individuals, helping them quickly regain confidence and independence. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Kurt Dykman.
I have found that one of the things that our clients enjoy the most is the ability to capture some information. It could be a phone call. It could be an address. It could be their shopping list. They can't write it down on a notepad anymore. Most of them can't. Okay. So we employ the use of a digital recorder, and we have just upgraded our digital recorders to the MicroSpeak version number 3. It does have a voice guidance on it. And Brian was the one that got us hooked on the Zoom H1 Essentials recorder. And we reserve that for people that are going to go off to college, because that's a much better recorder for when you want to capture things and you want to put index marks in your recordings. They're excellent recorders. That's my tip for the week.
Great. Thank you.
Well, that's a useful tip for anybody who thinks they can't jot down notes anymore. You just need to do it a different way.
That's right.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
And by
Glidance, pioneers of Glide, an intelligent guide for the blind and low vision community. Glide's AI-powered technology guides you around obstacles, hazards, and more, providing audio and haptic feedback, getting you where you need to go safely and independently. More information is at glidance.io/eyes. That's glidance.io/EYES.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Kurt and Brian.
We have two guests with us today, and I thought we could start by having you introduce yourself, Kurt, and tell a little bit about what you do.
Sure. My name is Kurt Dykman, and I am the CEO and founder of First Aid for the Blind. Just something to share with you about the name. No, we don't teach people how to put on Band-Aids and tourniquets and do CPR. That's a common myth that people think when they hear the name First Aid for the Blind. We just want to be there to help blind and visually impaired people. We want to be the first ones in the line to help them start to deal with their vision loss.
And do you have vision loss yourself?
Yes. I've been totally blind for 26 years.
So you've been through the transition.
Oh, yeah. I was told I had retinitis pigmentosa when I was 13 years old. And I was told I'd be blind by the time I was 20. And so I woke up the day after my 20th birthday and I said, I don't think these doctors know everything, because I had lost a little bit of vision, but not a whole lot. And I was still driving a car at 42. So I'm 69 years young now and going strong.
And our second guest is Brian. Brian, how about if you introduce yourself and tell a little bit about what you do?
Sure. My name's Brian Clark. I'm the lead trainer here at First Aid for the Blind. I, too, am totally blind. My vision journey, or this stage of my vision journey, started 10 years ago. I, like Kurt, like a lot of people, went through the deep, dark despair period of time before I knew any better, before I knew what my capabilities were and the like. And that's a frustration that we hear from a lot of people. When there's really no more treatment left for the physical part of the eye, a lot of times there's just not any answers provided to people. And so that's a big reason why Kurt and I do what we do, is to try and get people those answers as early as possible.
And how did you guys connect with each other?
I was the director of an official state-run rehabilitation center here in Indiana. And I'd been their director for 9 years before I retired. And I got to know Brian probably for 4 years. And so I immediately, took a liking to Brian. I knew we were going to get along right from the start.
And what were you doing beforehand, Brian?
Well, I had finished my rehabilitation. I went through the VA rehab and gone through some Salesforce training through Bosma, the same facility that Kurt worked at. And a position opened up in the AT lab, and I got to work with a mentor of mine over there, Bill Powell. And he really kind of showed me the ropes and allowed me to learn and grow and develop my skills and kind of learn on the job on how to teach people how to use computers and such. It kind of leveraged what I did before I lost my vision, which was kind of an IT manager for 15 years or so.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the services First Aid for the Blind provides to jumpstart getting newly blind individuals back on their feet.
Well, I thought we could start out by having you tell us a little bit more details about what First Aid for the Blind does and how it got started.
So what I like to tell people is that while I was the director at the rehab center, over those 9 years, I got a chance to interview and work with probably over 500 individuals. And I got to follow them right from before they started their training all the way through their training. The average training time there was about 16 weeks. So you really had a good chance to get to know folks. And during that time, I got to observe what I thought was working well and what could be improved. And one of the things that I noticed right away was the amount of time it took for individuals to work their way through the system. There was an extended, waiting list that they had to wait with. They had to also endure some extra time, with their vocational rehabilitation cases getting worked on. There was an inordinate amount of time that people had to wait, and it was pretty much dead time to them. And so I noticed right away that a lot of them were, suffering with anxiety and depression by the time they got to the center. And that was one thing I wanted to, work on right away, was don't make people wait for a very long time. On average, we're able to get to our clients well within, usually a 3-week turnaround. By the time we get a referral, we're able to serve them. The training is all done via a Zoom room, so it's all remote. We will train for 1 week. We'll start on a Monday morning and end on a Friday afternoon, typically. There are 25 specific lessons that we've created that are what I call the top 25, the best of the best, They are the skills and lessons that every blind and visually impaired person needs to know so that they can live a more robust life. And the other special feature that we offer is every lesson is recorded. And at the end of every training engagement, the client is given a flash drive with all of their lessons tacked on to the flash drive. And they can play that in their talking book digital player that they all receive. If they don't have one already, we make sure that they get one. So they're able to listen to all of their lessons over and over and over again. So if somebody had maybe lost their vision from a stroke, stroke victims love to have repetition. Maybe it's not making it into the long-term memory right away, but with repetition, listening to things over and over again, it's able to finally make it into long-term memory, and they're able to retain it much longer.
From your description, it sounds like these are all one-on-one private lessons. This isn't a group session.
It is one-on-one, yes.
So is the first lesson how to turn on your computer and get into Zoom without being able to see?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's funny because a lot of times they don't even have a smartphone or anything else like that. So we also provide them with up to $800 worth of training devices, which if they need a smartphone, we send them an iPhone SE model version 3. And I have a team of people that work with T-Mobile down in Cincinnati that prepare all the phones for us and make sure that they have all the settings set up properly. And they've preloaded all of the proper apps that we require on the phones. Having that available has saved us, you know, a lot of pre-effort. And so we can start off the lessons, you know, sending them a link in their inbox so that they can connect to Zoom. But we also use the Echo devices, and we can record on our Zoom rooms, but using the echo to echo connection so that we can maintain connections, because you can't train somebody on their phone while you're also doing a Zoom room on that particular phone. It gets easier if somebody already has an iPad or another laptop or Windows machine. Yes, we can hook up a Zoom room there.
So you're prepared for anything then?
Yes. The other thing that's important, which is different from a lot of other places, is that we like to involve the support family of the client as well. We call these the training buddies, and we welcome somebody from the support family to take the training, you know, with the client so that they have an opportunity to have a better understanding of what their loved one is going through. And it really helps them with their angst and depression that has come on to the support family as well.
So, Brian, you introduced yourself as the lead trainer. I assume that means there are other trainers in addition to you.
We are currently developing one right now. Yeah, as our base sort of grows, as we are able to increase our number of clients, then we will be adding more staff. Part of our job this last year has been to develop this curriculum that we will be able to easily pass on to other trainers and bring them on board with, you know, complete sets of notes for all the classes and different ways to ease their burden as they learn all these 25 different specific skills that they're trying to teach to students.
Can you give us a flavor of what kinds of things you teach in these 25 lessons?
Sure. A lot of them are fairly basic, common things that a lot of us in the community use, like seeing AI. We have a class on that where we go through the different channels, have the students test all those different features. That's one of our favorite classes because it really shows the students some of the potential of what we can use the iPhone for, leveraging that technology. We'll have classes on Be My Eyes and Aira. We'll have classes where we talk about just some of the different topics and areas of orientation and mobility. We don't really get into maybe specific techniques, but we're trying to give people an overall view because it's usually a new topic to them. So we kind of share some of our experiences and what using the white cane has meant to us in terms of independence and freedom and what all it means. And then what I enjoy a lot about each particular student is that each student gets customization, where we know that there's 25 things that we are definitely going to go over, but often we go far beyond that and we go into areas of interest for a student. Sometimes I can even get into introductory lessons of JAWS with students if we can get that far. So each different student is almost like a unique adventure, a unique journey, and a chance to really kind of customize our program to the needs of each individual student as well.
So I take it this is a pretty new venture for you guys, and you're still building up your clientele.
Yeah. When I retired in June of 22, I knew I wasn't done. I still had a lot of gas in the tank, if you will, and I wanted to do something. And one thing I had never done was to own my own business. And I got to tell you, I've enjoyed it immensely. And coming up with a business plan, I had a great idea, you know, maybe 5 years before I really wanted to deploy it. But the vocational rehabilitation people here in Indiana were super with me because, you know, I was able to give them a business plan and they were patient enough with me to let me tweak it so that it would be viable. And then they gave me two thumbs up. They started me off with some startup devices and also some computer hardware that I basically needed for the business. And the rest was history. In fact, in our first year, we were able to train 37 individuals. And that is almost four times what I had originally forecasted for our first year. Thanks to having Brian on board, we were able to do that many. And already into this year, we've done almost three-fourths what we did in the first year alone. And, you know, the whole half of a year has not even transpired. So that's why we're looking at maybe adding a third trainer in the near future.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
Yeah, that's impressive. What captivated me about your service when I found out about it was that it's special in so many ways. I mean, first of all, as you mentioned, traditional rehab services take a long time to get into. The training is very extensive and very long, but sometimes people just want a crash course. They may have recently become blinded and want to learn some life skills very quickly, and you provide that. The other thing you mentioned in your documentation is that apparently some rehab services won't serve people if they're not headed toward employment later on. So if they're retired and looking for such a service. So you do that too, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Back in, it was just prior to, I want to say it was like 2017. I remember the Department of Education came down with an edict and said, we're no longer going to support what was known as the homemaker goal. This was, you know, anybody that was not going to retrain to go into a work environment or maybe go to school, but with work at the end of that schooling, if you weren't in that category, there was no opportunity for you to get any training from the vocational rehabilitation organization. There's a lot of people out there that are in that situation. They're struck by the, you know, the loss of their vision. They're devastated sometimes to the fact that they just don't know, you know, what they can do. They assume the worst case. And it's the lack of knowing what Brian and I know is that, hey, there's a lot of solutions out there. And what I always tell people, you know, our secret sauce, if you will, I like telling people about our secret sauce. But our secret sauce is that we are going to teach people alternate ways of getting everyday tasks done just without using their vision. It's really, really that simple. And we're blessed sometimes that we have multiple solutions to choose from. Sometimes we don't, you know, have a a real solution available for it. But, you know, Brian and I are creative enough that we'll help people, you know, work out a way that people can get to a solution.
So basically, the training that you provide allows people to jumpstart learning how to deal with daily life without their vision. Do you anticipate that many of your students will then follow up with the longer, more extensive training at the rehabilitation centers?
Yeah, that's usually the case. And one other thing that I have observed is that a lot of them now have such a good head start that their stay at the rehabilitation centers are shorter because they've already got a good head start.
So in addition to providing a relatively unique rehab service, you're also filling a gap for people that aren't eligible for those services.
That's correct. Yep.
That's terrific.
Right now, we're in the process. I'm in negotiations with an attorney who's going to be adding a parallel entity to our current LLC formation so that we'll be, you know, part nonprofit, part for-profit, and so that we can obtain, you know, grants and other donations through the nonprofit that will then, you know, feed into the for-profit to, you know, pay for the individuals that can't afford our normal fee.
So speaking of the patrons paying in most rehab services, those are paid for by the state, but you offer other ways of helping students get through your program.
Yeah. You know, we weren't able to start out that way, but in year two, that is one of our two things that we want to accomplish this year is to add the nonprofit so that it makes it easier to find the funds to pay for the trainings for people that can't afford it. Currently, we're right in the middle of getting that started. The second thing, our mission for year two, is to get the word out to the eye doctor community, because this happened for both Brian and myself, and we're not alone. And, you know, what we have noticed is that typically after a doctor has exhausted all the medical things that they can do, be it, you know, surgeries, laser treatments, shots, drops, whatever it is, when they've exhausted that and there's nothing more they can do for their patient, unfortunately, we find out that they're not doing the next natural best thing for that client. They're not referring them to folks like ourselves. And so we want to get the word out that I will talk to anybody that wants some advice, some counsel, if you will, on what they can do next, and so that I can instill some hope with them. I'm not going to charge them a nickel for that kind of advice, because it's my way of paying back for the, you know, the training that I got 26 years ago.
You know, you've hit one of our hot buttons, and it's not just ours. We have heard from so many people that when the eye doctor told them there was nothing left they could do and they were just going to have to be blind, they don't refer them to any kind of rehabilitation services, including they don't refer them to a place like yours. And that's frustrating because you still have to live.
Right.
And it's possible to do so with appropriate training.
Yeah. I just got done working with a student who has really, really shed a lot of light in this particular topic. He was very highly involved in the medical field on the opposite end as a provider, a very, very high level, and hit the tables turned on him when his vision went away. And he has expressed extreme frustration at what he felt on his end, needless procedures, wasted time, needless billing, all of these things. And it's like nobody is immune from this. We just want people to know that after the physical component of it, you know, there's no treatment left for that, doesn't mean life is over. And once I started hearing other stories, this is what I love about what you both do, is part of my weekly mission is to share the success stories of others. You know, that's what we try to do, is almost like the shock paddles for CPR, where we hook it up to a tank of confidence and we just give them a jolt. Here's a little bit of confidence. And you can't believe the way people bloom and flower and just soak all that up when they start to think that they can do all these things. I know that's how I felt. I know that's how Kurt felt. I know that's how a lot of other people feel. And so hearing other successes is hugely important for sure.
Well, we really wish you guys luck in building this service that can be very useful and a lifesaver for many people.
Thank you.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about first aid for the blind and how to contact them.
Well, Kurt, if people wanted to avail themselves of the services of First Aid for the Blind, where would you send them?
The best place to contact us is our website, faftb.com. So it's just the first character in our name, First Aid for the Blind. So it's FAFTB. If you wanted that in the phonics mode, it would be Frank Alpha Frank Thomas Boy.com. You can visit our site and learn more about our mission, what you can expect from us. There's a referral form in there. You can get on our newsletter and learn more about, you know, what's going on. I have a regular blog that's being posted, you know, on there and also on Instagram. There's lots of information. You can call us on a telephone if that's the only way you can reach us. The phone number is 317-909-0286.
Do you have an email address if people prefer that option?
Yes. That would be admin@faftb.com.
Do you have a social media presence?
Yes, we do. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
And you can find all of that information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2505, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. Speaking of websites, as you might know, we totally revamped our website for this 15th year that we're starting of Eyes on Success. And we're looking for user feedback. Tell us what you like about it, what you don't like about it, and your feedback is important to us. Send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net if you have some comments.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about AppleViz, a hub for visually impaired users of Apple products. We'll talk with David Nason and Scott Davert, members of the AppleViz editorial team, about the evolution of the platform, the resources available on AppleViz, the recent partnership with Be My Eyes, and the expansion to cover products outside of the Apple ecosystem.
If you're not familiar with AppleViz, you'll want to catch that show, so we hope we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.